Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most American podcast network. Hey, what's Pac-Man, everybody? Welcome to the Cynical Cartoons Podcast, where today I watched The Bots Master from 1993 with Ralph Adonasia. Ralph uses he-him pronouns, and he's on the new season of Buddy vs. Duff, which premieres on March 15th on the Food Network, so go check that out if you're interested in cakes and bake-offs and all that good stuff. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at StopTweetingMia. Thank you for listening to the Cynical Cartoons Podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant. My pronouns are she, her. And I'm here if you need to talk.
I'm Zip Zoolander. ZZ for short. You know I fight the corp. I'm the boss master. Listen up, you all. You're the boys brigade. When it's laser time, put on the 3D shade. Laser time, boys!
What was your favorite giant fighting robot show when you were a kid?
Robots were not really my thing. I liked mutants.
Like specifically the X-Men or like Toxic Avenger?
Yeah, X-Men, Toxic Crusaders. Really, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was my number one.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But anything with weird creatures I was always way more into than stuff with robots.
I mean, TMNT is really great because TMNT had like 1,000 ripoffs of it. Like throughout the late 80s and mid 90s.
Oh, yeah, all the way through the 90s. Like it was the Turtles that you had like... Street Sharks, Biker Mice from Mars, Battletoads,
Road Rovers,
Snailians.
Snailians.
I feel like even SWAT Cats is almost in there, although SWAT Cats feels like it comes from something a little later.
Okay, wait, what is Snailians? Because I've never heard of that one.
They were Snailians, supersonic shell fighters. I think I've just told you everything I remember about Snailians.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now. These guys are pretty sick. Was there an animated show or was it just toys?
That's a great question. One for which I had an answer.
Yeah, I watched Road Rovers a couple weeks ago, and I kind of expected it to be more derivative of TMNT, and it really wasn't.
Woof.
But I don't know. That's always been such a funny subset of cartoons for me, because it's always either like, okay, so you took a bunch of animals and you gave them human characteristics, which is fine. Or they go like the Street Sharks route, where they're like, yeah, we took all these human teenagers and we fucked them up.
They are so okay with being turned into shark men,
by the
way.
They love being sharks.
And they hate pizza.
Mm-hmm. What, really? I've only seen a few episodes of that show. I don't remember that.
They specifically hated pizza because they had to distance themselves as a cartoon from Ninja Turtles. Yeah.
That's really beautiful. And they don't live in the sewers. They live on top of a building. No, that's Gargoyles. Never mind.
Gargoyles was really good, though.
Yeah.
The thing, too, with Street Sharks is that the villain, whose name is maybe Dr. Psycho or something like that.
He was like a lobster man, maybe?
He was in like a big robot suit and just had like a dude head in there.
Mm-hmm.
But, and my memory of this is probably really faulty, but I remember him looking just like the villain of the Free Willy cartoon.
Which I've also never heard of. You're really bringing it in this episode.
I am a deep wealth of useless 80s and 90s cartoons.
I mean, I have like a long list of like 200 different like terrible things I could watch any week on the show. I've never heard of the Free Willy cartoon.
Oh, God. So it was the kid, Jesse, I think is his name, winds up working at like an oceanographic research institute. And it's there that he discovers he has this like ancient Native American power to talk to sea life.
Oh, that's beautiful.
There's like an old, the old Native American man who's in the movie reprises. He's in the show too. And there's like a dolphin named Darwin who's really smart, or Einstein. It's either Einstein or Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Willie, and the, maybe there was a seal, but also the businessman, either from the movie or someone loosely based on him,
right,
is the villain of this show. His name's Rockland Stone, but he's also secretly the evil cyborg eco-terrorist known as the Machine. So, you know, just like Free Willy.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of those like 80s and 90s cartoons had like an environmental message eventually, because like the government said, you know, you guys have to do like a PSA episode. And then you've got like Captain Planet and apparently this show where the entire thing is just like environmental every episode.
Yeah.
Which seems like it would grow old for a while. Like how often can you clean up the ocean from like toxic waste that's green and glowing? But probably every episode. And it probably didn't last that long.
Well, see, here's the thing. All that messaging that they tried to do back then didn't amount to much because the planet is on fucking fire.
Yeah. Well, that's not really the consumer's fault. It was the people making the cartoons that were destroying the planet anyway.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. So this show, this Botsmaster, I have only the vaguest memory of it existing. And I feel like I remember all of the shows from back then.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember Dr. Hiss really vividly.
Mm, yes, the cyborg man.
Yeah, with the, like, you know, dentist suction tubes in his mouth, presumably to stop him drooling uncontrollably at all times.
Beautiful. A beautiful, beautiful man. I mean, this show has a lot about it that's very memorable. It's the giant fighting robot cartoon with the most rapping, I think that I can say comfortably.
Oh, that backing track never stops playing for the entire episode.
No, it's also the opening and the closing theme of the episode is just every single character coming out and introducing themselves, and they play it two or three times per episode.
And that, but no, I mean, like, not two or three times, like, that beat from that opening theme played throughout the whole episode until the end of the final battle, when finally there was a different piece of music.
Well, yeah, I guess that one thing you can really say about the Botsmaster cartoon is that it's caustic for sure. It's hard to listen to. It's pretty good looking, like as far as like shitty 90s cartoons goes. But like this one is really, really noxious to listen to.
Yeah, it's like it was directed by Robert Altman. Like people are just talking over each other constantly.
Yeah, and like you can tell that they're trying to tell jokes. Like he goes home to his little like underground lair and all the robots there are supposed to be like comic relief, but you're like, none of them, I can't really even digest what you're saying because you just keep talking at me.
No, it was just a wall of sound that I was constantly running into. And you're right, there are a lot of things that are like joke adjacent, but none of them ever land or pay off or are worth it.
Right, or things that just like aren't even a joke, but they're kind of a catchphrase, but they're also not really a catchphrase. Like all of his robot heads.
No, they're just delivered like jokes.
Right, and they say them in every episode as if they were jokes. And it's like, okay, I guess that like if I had watched this all the time as a kid, that joke would be nostalgic to me. So I'd think it was funny, but it's not. It's not very funny.
So I'm going to be very transparent here. I told you this before we started recording, but I only slept for about an hour and a half last night. So I'm a little loopy, but I was watching that and all those heads on the shelf. The pink heart shaped one with the skeleton teeth.
Uh-huh.
I remember thinking distinctly, well, that thing just eats penises.
I don't even know how to Google this to bring up a picture of it. So I'm just going to back you up on this. It definitely does. Do you think that it was made for that? You just think it was designed as like a blowjob fellatio bot?
No, not in a pleasurable way. Like,
it just devours human penises, literally.
Yeah, as fuel or as food. Like, it's a good thing it doesn't have a body.
Oh my God.
It probably tells you that it's really good to put your penis in its mouth, too. It's like, no, I was made for pleasure. And they're like, well, OK. And then it bites that thing off.
I mean, I would be shocked if Ziv Zoolander, the lead character teenager of the show, didn't have a sex bot in his lab. Like,
yeah,
this motherfucker is so horny. I don't know if there was any of that in the first episode. I watched like three or four of these.
It's inconceivable that a teenager who invented robots, which is the first thing we learn about him. He's like, I invented the three A's, which is what these robots are called. There's no way he didn't make one to fuck.
Yeah, so to get into the plot of this show a little bit, Ziv Zoolander is our lead character. This was made 6 years before the film Zoolander, by the way. So that's kind of incredible.
Common name.
Yeah, right. It's spelled with a U.
Where?
On IMDb. Yeah, it's not spelled in the show. That'd be really incredible, though, if he like had that in his rap at the beginning. He's like, I'm Ziv Zoolander. It's Zoolander. Ziv Zoolander created the three A's, all of these like super high-tech robots. I guess Ziv is supposed to be like 16, right? Or is he in his 20s?
Every cartoon character in the 90s was 16.
Yeah, I guess it's just a little bit up in the air because he has like a romantic attachment to Lady Frenzy, who seems like a 35-year-old woman.
Right? She wants to bone him.
Oh, they want to bone each other. It's basically the plot of every episode is them like tricking each other by seducing each other.
I'm going to be perfectly candid. I kind of want to bone Lady Frenzy.
Yeah, she's got like a nice like Gray Delisle thing going on. I could see like falling in love with her as a kid and being like, oh my God, I'm going to make fan art of this someday.
Too sexy a character.
But that's what you need, though. You know, if you're making a 90s cartoon and you don't have like a sexy arch hench person for the main villain, then you're fucking up.
Yeah. And I mean, this show is all tropes, you know, like it's that it's, you know, like the there are two henchmen. One of them's a woman who's competent. The other one's a disfigured creature of some kind. There's the like tough, mouthy little sister.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
All the various stereotype, you know, comic relief characters. There's the bland white hero.
Mm-hmm. Somehow I feel like Lady Frenzy is a little bit less boring than a lot of the like stock female hench people in these kinds of shows. But I don't really have a reason to back that up. Maybe her design is just like better than all those other ones, but she seems like she'd be more memorable than them.
Maybe it's just because she's driven by the desire to bone that 16-year-old.
It certainly, he has to be in his 20s, right? Like, there's no way the show would have a weird, like, teacher's pet with the supervillain thing if he was a teenager.
At the time, it was the 80s.
This was the 90s. This was 1996, I think.
Right, sorry. Holy cow, this show looks older than that.
Yeah, it seems a lot older than that.
This show looks 10 years older than that. It looks like it came out at the same time as Gem and the Holograms.
Well, Gem was ahead of its time, to be fair. This show came out in 93.
This is totally outrageous.
It does seem like it's way too late to be like a derivative of Voltron and Transformers and all of those. Like, this is 10 years too late to be the show that it's trying to be.
Yeah.
So Ziv created all of these robots, and his idea and his invention were taken over by LLP. Was that his name? I don't remember the villain.
Yep. The most threatening villain name.
Right, because what is his normal name? It's like Lance or something like that.
It's like Lionel Lance.
Ugh. I mean, he's just a Lex Luthor archetype all the way down to like the running for president shit. Like,
yeah, I mean, LLP could stand for Lex Luthor poser.
He just wants to be like ruler of the world. And I guess president of the world is like a thing in this show. The show is set in like an indescribable future, sort of. The only thing they really tell us is that it's after 2017.
It's also set in Megacity, like RoboCop.
Wasn't that New Detroit, or was that, or there are two cities in RoboCop?
No, wait, where's Megacity 1? What's
Megacity
that
1 is Judge Dredd, I think.
That's what I said.
Why do I know
Judge
that?
Dredd. Nope, that's what I said. I don't know why you thought I said RoboCop.
Don't test me on my RoboCop knowledge. I know this shit.
Old Robert Cop himself.
It does look very much like RoboCop. I also had that written down, but I didn't really have a take, so I didn't say anything about it.
The whitewashing and appropriation that goes on here, where like this is clearly a very rap-centric show. So, of course, brunette white teen
Yeah, I mean, there's that. And also, I think that it's mostly like a white voice cast, and it's a lot of people like doing black guy voices. And it's really hard to tell from IMDb.
I wanted to look into that because I was sitting there going like, these are meant to be ethnic voices, but it sounds like it's white dudes doing it.
Right. Yeah. And it's hard because like you go to IMDb and all of the profiles don't have pictures on them because these people probably only worked on this show and nothing else.
Do we know why Dr. Hiss looks like that? Why he has the one big eye and the robot leg? Possibly an exposed heart? What is going on with his chest?
Like maybe he had like a fucked up face and he was like, maybe I'll just lean into this. Like I'll just give myself crazy robot enhancements so that people don't mention how fucked up my face is. I mean, the animation in the show isn't terrible. Like last week on Cynical Cartoons, we watched The Bionic Six, and that show's just like fucking just miserable to look at. So this one is a pretty big step up from that. Like it's very colorful.
That's the one that has that, or there's a big dopey mechanic character.
Yeah, that's right. The main crew has a robot gorilla named Fluffy.
No. There's a guy. He's like a sort of a mechanic looking guy. Like he's got coveralls or something, and a ball cap and a big chin, and he's real dumb looking.
Yeah, there was that guy. I don't think that he had any robot attachments to him though.
No, I didn't say any robot. He just sort of looked like he was a mechanic, not that he was mechanical.
Oh, like he was a mechanic. Yes, that does happen in Bionic 6. That show's pretty unnotable, though. I kind of just don't want to think about it again.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If it had occurred to me for even a second that we could pick a cartoon to watch, I had some.
What was that? What were you thinking?
I mean, there are a bunch. Have you done Denver the Last Dinosaur yet?
I have not done Denver the Last Dinosaur.
We're going to have to revisit that.
Denver the Last Dinosaur. I'm looking it up.
He's my friend and a whole lot more.
I've never even seen this one. I've scoured the internet for shit like this. He plays a guitar. This is beautiful.
He's very cool.
I love him. This show does something that I haven't actually seen all that much in like TV animation, which is that in the middle of every single episode, the main characters say to each other or to the audience, it's laser time. Yeah, and you got to put on your 3D shades.
Yeah.
Our version that we watched on YouTube didn't have the 3D component, and I really wish that it did, because that seems like it would have been a lot of fun.
I'm okay with it leaving that out. Genesix, by the way, what the hell is that character?
Genesix is which? Okay, so they're all robot sounding, so it's hard to remember which one is which. Which one is Genesix? Is that the one that always gives you dictionary definitions of things?
It has like tubes for eyes and a frightening mouth. It's like white and yellow and blue.
Here he is. Okay. Jenna 6 is, he's got sort of a Wall-E aspect to him. He looks like a washing machine with an MST3K robot attached to the top of it.
Why does he exist?
I mean, I guess that when you're 16 and you're designing robots,
you want to make one of them look like full-on nightmares?
Uh-huh. I'm trying to figure out what ZZ's origins are. Like, how did he learn how to do all of this on his own? Why did he make so many robots when he seems to be purely fed up with all of them all the time? Where are these people's parents? Like, how did this situation happen in general?
I don't know. I kind of like the one with the television for a head.
Which one was that? What's his name? He's the one that gives off the dictionary definitions for everything.
Yeah, possibly. I don't remember any of the names beyond Jenna 6. I couldn't figure out why that was his name. There's a little nerdy one who has like a computer monitor for a head.
Yeah, his name's like Data or something like that. Denerd.
Sure, why would anything be imaginative?
He's really obnoxious. He's really obnoxious because he only has one gimmick that he does in every episode, basically, where like he'll hear a word that's a synonym and he'll give you the dictionary definition for it.
Yeah, but it's the wrong word.
Yeah, and which is useless, but it's like, well, ZZ isn't allowed to be annoyed by that because he's the one that fucking made the robot. Like, if he's able to make robots that are out there servicing the world as cops right now, then why did he create this little shithead that's completely incapable like, and also obnoxious?
Come on, Denerd. In order to play baseball, we're going to need a bat. And he'll be like, ah, yes, bats. Small flighted mammals using echolocation to feed on bugs.
And right.
Fuck you.
I feel like ZZ has that relationship with all the robots where he's like so fed up with them all the time, but it's like you made them to be that way. So I don't know. ZZ is not a very likable protagonist. Honestly, the younger sister would have been a better hero for the show. She's the classic like sidekick hacker trope in the body of a 10-year-old. And it's like, that's actually kind of fun. Like she's obnoxious and precocious, but not in a way that made me hate her as an audience member. She's got a nice like 90s style. She's a lot more interesting than Ziv for sure.
Who is as bland as they come.
Yeah, Ziv
sucks. He is room temperature white bread.
He sucks, and I'm glad that his last name is Zoolander because at least like I could laugh every time they said his name. Like the villains in the show love to scream at him and be like, Zoolander, I'll get you next time. And you're like, wow, this is good. This is a good cartoon. So basically, yeah, Ziv created all of these robots that then LLP took over his designs and mass produced them so that he could be president of the world or whatever. And LLP is sending out a hard-coded update to all of these robots where he's like, you have to put the disc in your robot and then it's going to control you and make you a slave.
The Krang chip.
And it's like people around the world are like, okay, I guess that's fine. It's just funny to think about robots in the day before the World Wide Web was a thing that everybody had access to, that the show can't conceive 50 years in the future that you would get updates wirelessly on your robot.
Do they ever explain why it's called a Krang chip?
No, I assume that that's just a reference to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles character.
Right, because that's just the brain in the stomach of that android body.
Uh-huh.
So the list of robots, first of all, boys, B-O-Y-Z-Z, uh-huh, is brain-operated young zygotopic zoids.
Oh no, are they all, do they all have acronyms?
Well, that's the whole group of them. So his robots that he made, the ones that we follow, who are all annoying.
Yeah, that's right.
Brain-operated young zygotopic zoids.
Young. It kind of just seemed like he young wanted the acronym to be boys.
Yeah, he also says in like his first line about them, he's like, they're all young and they have an excess of personality. And they're like, how are we defining young for robots here?
Presumably they'd be the oldest robots, right? Because they were created by the creator of modern robotics, Ziv Zoolander.
Fuck me, I don't know.
So in this episode, Ziv is like recording a message that he's going to send out to the world that basically tells everybody that LLP is evil and is going to take over all of their robots. I don't really know how he's not able to send that message by the end of the episode. Like, I understand that LLP controls all the media and controls every office in the land. And I understand that the internet doesn't exist, but wouldn't Ziv have the ability to get that message out to the people somehow? Like, even literally just, like, standing on the street handing out flyers that are like, hey, this guy's evil, can't you guys see that the president of the world is evil, would probably accomplish more than he's accomplishing on his own.
Make a bunch of drones with speakers on them and fly him out there.
Yeah, but instead he's just, like, constantly, like, labeled as a terrorist, and it's one of those things where the show is like, he never does anything wrong, but, like, as the episodes go on, you see that Ziv is pretty irresponsible generally. In the second episode of the show, he, like, goes out and he destroys a factory that's making all the evil robots. As he's doing it, he, like, sort of seems like he's about to do, like, a check to make sure there's not any innocent people inside. And the villains show up and he's like, just blow it up anyway.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, sometimes he seems to care about human life, but not really enough that he'll actually do a check before he does a terrorist act on this mechanics factory.
Yeah, there's a real good chance that not much thought was put into this. There's, like, slightly more world building put into this show than there is in, like, Disney Pixar Cars. But yeah. Only just barely anymore.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, it does seem like they're like, okay, it's 70 years in the future, however long in the future it is. The only technological advances that we have are all these robots that were just created in the last 10 years by this teenager.
Yeah, it's robots in sweet 90s fashion.
The fight scenes in this show are pretty crazy. Like, when all of Ziv's friends show up to save him at the beginning of the episode, or they're, like, breaking into the factory or whatever it is they're trying to do, they all have guns on their arms, but instead they, like, do shit like picking up a giant globe and, like, throwing it at people like a bowling ball. Just because I guess that they get, like, extra points for style or something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, a lot of these cartoons at this time, those characters had weapons and they just never really used them.
Yeah, and maybe that's like a parents group kind of thing. They're like, okay, well, we'll give him a gun on his arm in case he needs it, but he'll never blow anything up.
Right,
with
that would
it.
Be too violent.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about the sheer number of friggin' boys that there are in this show?
Yeah, there's too many boys, honestly. Like, it's impossible to know all of their names and all of their personalities because they blend together so much.
And each of them is a boys, by the way.
Yeah.
So boys is the singular and plural, because, like, I'm reading the entry about this thing on Wikipedia here, and, like, when it gets to, you know, like, there's different groups, but there's the street boys, the sports boys, the science boys.
Right.
And then there's other boys, standalone, but these robots aren't grouped like that. And so, like, but each of them is, you know, like, cook, the cooking boys,
mm-hmm.
ninjas, the ninja boys, kitty, the child boys.
Designed possibly to serve as a playmate for Blitzy, Kitty behaves like a young boy, but does help out on missions occasionally. Kitty behaves much like a younger sibling, attempts to annoy Blitzy from time to time. Yeah, that seems like a bad decision to make that in general. It's like an artificial intelligence sort of thing. Like, why would you make something that will eternally have the cognizance functions of a six-year-old?
I don't know. This is hard to parse out. Moms, the mother boys.
She was only present for one episode when Gen 6 felt ZZ and Blitz needed a mother, destroyed during a suicide run to save everyone else.
Oh, no!
God. That's a good point, though, that they make there. Like, I wonder if they get into, in the show, the parentlessness of these two kids. I get that ZZ is supposed to be Blitzy's guardian. Maybe. They're just, like, living in an underground bunker because they're sort of terrorists on the run from the law. But, like, in the first episode, when he tries to break into this factory and the bad guys stop him, the bad guys are like, oh, we know the first thing he's going to do is go find his sister at school. And then, like, 5 minutes later, he remembers that his sister exists and then he has to go save her. So it kind of seems like being a parent to his sister is not a high priority for this kid.
I only watched the first episode. It doesn't do a great job of setting up the anything.
That's fair.
So when we get into some of these questions about what's going on, I am ill-equipped.
Well, I guess that's the thing, is that on Cynical Cartoons, when I ask these hypotheticals, there's not really an answer to any of them. Like, maybe if you watched every episode, you would figure out what happened to their parents, but it wouldn't be a satisfying answer for sure.
I'm just going to throw this out there. ZZ's a clone of LLP, who was intended to be like his heir.
Mm-hmm. You're throwing that out there as something that has been researched or something that you...
Nope. This is just right. If it smells, it's because I pulled it out of my ass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What if LLP was a clone of ZZ, though?
Okay. He's older than ZZ.
Well, yeah, but like, haven't you seen the Attack of the Clones? You know, like, you age a clone rapidly. No, this has no bearing. In fact, anyway, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, like, we don't have to. I guess that's like, he could be an older clone. That's fine. Well, then I've got absolutely nothing for you. The brain operated part of the acronym BOYS throws me off a bit.
Yeah, I guess that's because they want to make some distinction between like the mindless drones that they're fighting against and.
Yeah. So do they have their own brains? Is that what that means?
Yeah, it means that they all have their own sentience beyond like, I'm here to serve this billionaire.
Okay, and then the next question becomes, what does zygotopic mean?
Zygote is definitely a word that I heard in like biology 101.
Yeah, a zygote is like an immature, no.
A diploid cell resulting from the fusion of two haploid gametes, a fertilized ovum. I'm glad I looked
that
up.
When an egg and a sperm come together, they create a zygote.
Uh-huh. So,
but this is not spelled that way.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, did he create the robots by coming in another robot? Doesn't seem like it.
No, because he would have had to make that sex robot we were talking about, and he didn't.
Yeah.
Well, I'm done asking about that acronym. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about here?
I don't even know. I don't have anything else about this show at all. I mean, the ninja bot they introduce in episode 2 is pretty cool. That's about... Oh. Episode 2, ZZ has the brilliant plan of creating spyware.
Okay.
Basically, he has a disc. Again, it's all discs. There's no way that you can actually upload anything digitally or wirelessly to somebody else's technology. So he has his robots break into Lady Chaos or whatever the fuck her name is, Lady Frenzy's office, and put this disc in her computer so that he can like spy on her NSA style. And then it just like smash cuts to him watching her creepily like applying makeup without her knowing that he's watching her. Yeah, I guess that he installed it like supposedly so that he could get like information on what the villains were up to. But instead he just like sits and watches her all day apply makeup and hang out unknowingly in her office.
Well, that's not problematic.
No, it's not good for sure. But it's fine because she likes him. So the show poses that that's okay for him to do.
Interesting. I get the feeling that like what's really going on here is just like a big sort of sexy role playing game between the two of them. And all this other stuff is just set dressing.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely seem entangled, and I wonder what that backstory is or if there is anything there at all. Like, maybe the show gets into that later on and they're like, yeah, they were like lovers and he's in his 20s. He's definitely not a teen.
He's 16. She's just waiting for him to be like to hit that age of consent.
Ugh. Which in the future is 23, so it's going to be a while.
Woof.
He's worth waiting for. He created robots. He's a great guy, Ziv Zoolander. That's all I have for the Bots Master. Thank you, Ralph, for joining me on this episode.
Thanks for dragging me into this, Mia.
At least it was free on YouTube. You didn't have to rent it on iTunes or anything like that. It's small mercies on Cynical Cartoons.
There's like a full hour of my life between watching that and talking about it.
Uh-huh.
It's just gone now.
So you came on the show today to talk about your show is premiering this week, Buddy versus Duff. What day is that?
No. I'm not done here yet.
Oh, no. Okay.
You know that I'm going to die someday, right?
Presumably, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, my life is finite. And when it's over, my consciousness will be gone from the universe forever. And I'll never remember that I was alive because I'll be dead.
Uh-huh.
So you've wasted an hour of that precious, beautiful, rare, shining gift that I was given.
Listen, you talked about shitty 80s cartoons before we started the show quite a bit. Like, you know all of this shit. You've wasted a lot of your life on this stuff already. That's not my fault, Ralph.
Oh, my God.
And I don't want you to put that on me.
And I'm, like, hitting the middle of my life, too. I've wasted a lot of time, Mia. Thanks for pointing that out.
All those years wasted on the fucking Flipper Free Willy cartoon.
God, that Free Willy cartoon, man.
Dear Lord. Buddy versus Duff. What day does that premiere?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I'm on a new show. I'm on the second season of a TV show. It's a food competition. It's pretty cool.
Is it also cake-based, or do you guys make a lot of
shit? Oh, it's all cake-based. We're okay. Making 8 outrageous cakes that we're competing with the guy from Ace of Cakes, which was like Cake Boss, but before.
Craziest cake you guys ever made on Cake Boss?
I couldn't tell you what the craziest one we made on Cake Boss was, because we did that for 10 years, so it's kind of hard to remember all of them. We had more episodes than MASH.
And a bigger legacy, too.
I don't know about that.
The Cake Boss premiere was the most watched TV show of all time, right?
I don't think that's true.
Oh, well, let's pretend like it's true.
It was one of the watched TV shows of all time. I don't know. We made some of my favorite cakes that I've ever done, but one of them is a nearly life-sized ankylosaur, and we got to deliver that to the Museum of Natural History, and that's pretty fucking cool.
And you are on Twitter at CakeBossRalph.
That's right. Twitter and Instagram at CakeBossRalph. Check me out on Buddy vs. Duff on Food Network starting March 15th.
And I'm on Twitter at StopTweetingMia. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia.
Do people listen to this?
Yeah, people listen to this.
I would have tried harder if I knew.
And I'm here if you need to talk.
Laser time, boys!
Now the show you know in 3D is so real, you can touch it. The evil Dr. Hiss has got a plan, but 3D action's gonna save the land. He wants to rule the world with his evil bots, but ZZ and the boys say, we think not!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.